Those that may be visiting, Joel is not here today, our pastor, and I encourage you to come back. Come back another Sunday and hear Joel, and you will definitely be blessed. But when the guys go to Black Rock, I usually am the one that is left to teach. I'm not a preacher either. I'm a teacher, I think. And so I'm left to lead you, and I'm glad to do that because I always grow more when I'm studying the Word. And I just thank God for what He's opened up to me this week, and I hope that I can make it come out to you. I know some of the things that Dan said are definitely in the Scripture that we'll read. And so as it all puts together. But one thing I wanted to say, and I don't know if you noticed this or not, but the songs and some of the worship we've had so far have been more Easter. And I did that with Deb. Deb kind of gave me a song list and we kind of put it together. Because didn't Easter just fly by last week? I mean, time flies so much. It seems like you used to have so much time to reflect and think about Easter, and you'd have services, you know, just, I don't know, it just flew by, and I thought about that this week. And of course, some of what I was led to talk about is about another resurrection. It wasn't Christ's resurrection, but it was one that was before Christ. And the key verse that the Holy Spirit kept telling me to speak about was Jesus wept. And, of course, that's the shortest verse in the Bible. And I thought, well, this is really going to be a short service. But I stuck with it because I was thinking, well, you know, what else should I do? Is there something else I should do? But it kept coming back to Jesus wept. And I hope in the end you'll see why. But this is a story that has been told over and over again. But as I dug into it, I hope you'll see a few different things that may enlighten you a little bit. The focus of this story, of course, is the resurrection of Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And that's, if you truly read the story, that's what you're focused in on. But there's a little more behind it than that. It involves much more than that. You know, this is a time right before, a little time before Jesus was going to go to the cross and die for our sins and to be resurrected. And so some of the commentaries I read when I was looking to these and some of the scripture verses, it says, Jesus wept for Lazarus, but even deeper, he wept for unbelief and for sin. And that's what we'll open up here a little bit today. Another reference said, in his humanity, Jesus wept for Lazarus, but in his divinity, he raised him from the dead. So, you know, there's been many times you've heard it said that Jesus was fully God, fully man. And so he could weep. He could have emotions just like us. And I think that's what brings us so close to him, is that he knows what we go through. And he died for what we go through. But in his divinity, he raised him from the dead. Here we find a remarkable glimpse into the glory of the Lord. How the Lord of the universe could weep for us. That just is unimaginable to me. Of all the great things he does, he cares enough about each one of us that he weeps for us. Psalm 103 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. And he shows that here not only to Lazarus, but to Mary and Martha. And then Isaiah 53 says, surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. And as we go through this story, we'll see how he carried our sorrows even to the cross. At this time, he stands face to face with death. This time, he will bring back Lazarus, but next time, he will lay down his own life. So this is what's going on leading up to Jesus' death on the cross, is this story of Lazarus. So let's open the story if you'd like to go with me. It's in John 11, And I don't know that we intended to have anything on the screen, but if you want to turn your Bible with me, John 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And this was about 2 miles from where Jesus was residing at this time. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair, if you remember that story. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And sometimes we read that and we think, well, it's saying, "Lord, the one that loves you is sick." But it says, "Lord, the one you love is sick." He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha. And that's why they were calling on him, because of the love that was there. So he loved them just as he loves us. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus at this time knew what would happen. And by the timing that you see here, that it was 4 days before he got there and he was only a couple of miles away, he had planned this all along. And it said that at this time, Lazarus had probably already died, because he had had time to get the message from Bethany that he was sick. But he said, "This sickness will not end in death." So from that point, he knew that this was not going to end in death. No one else knew what was going to happen. But we're told this story kind of through two sides. Through Jesus' side that knew everything, and then through the other characters that are playing along with this. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. So he wasn't in a hurry. He knew that there wasn't any reason to hurry, because he is the resurrection, and this is what he was going to show the people. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. believed, you would see the glory of God. And that's what we're talking about so much when we witness and have testimony, that if we believe, we will see the glory of God, even in our times today. So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing there, that they may believe that you sent me." So at this point, Jesus wasn't praising himself or raising himself up here. He was still pointing to God, which he always does. He always gives God the praise. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And I read in a couple of commentaries that it said he hollered for Lazarus to come out, because they said if he had hollered, "Come out," everyone would have come out, because it was Jesus that was calling them. So he says, "Lazarus, come out," so that it would be directed to Lazarus. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and the cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave cloths and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. So here is one side. There are Jews around, and there are some that accept Christ, that put their faith in him at that point. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. So you see, I think that this is what Jesus was dealing with, that there were Jews there that were going to persecute him, that were going to go back and tell the Sanhedrin, and Jesus knew this. Jesus knows all. He knew that this was going to happen. I think that was some of his being deeply moved and troubled, because he wasn't troubled over Lazarus. His brother was going to be raised. He was moved with Mary and Martha, but he was also trying to show them that what belief could do, that you could see your brother being raised from the dead on this fourth day. But there were those that just didn't see it. And we look at that and we say, how could that happen, that someone could see Lazarus raised from the dead and not believe? We can't understand that. And then in the time when Jesus goes and is crucified and is raised from the dead, we go through the same thing. And we live in that in these times. But I wanted to take you back through a few points. You know, we talk about we don't understand how this is the way, that when you see miracles like this, that you don't believe in Christ. But we know it's happened like this all through the Old Testament. And there are times when things are so bad that people are so sinful and have so much sin in their life that things happen that God just, he can't take it anymore. He has to do certain things. You think of the time of Noah when the people were so sinful that he flooded the world. And there are other times when it's our sin that grieves him, that makes him groan inside. And if we look in Exodus, if we go back, just a short verse, "Then the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other, so that neither went near the other. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove back the sea." Now we look at that scripture and we think, if I would have been there, I would have believed and I would have been the perfect person and I would have just gone on forever. But we know from the sin of the people that none of these people saw the promised land. And they had these miracles. They had these things that they saw. There's another scripture in Numbers. It's Numbers 21. It's 6 through 9. And this is referenced in John, and I'll go forward to that in a minute. But it said it got so bad that the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. The people were so sinful that the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by the snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. And the reference of that is in John. Let me read what John says about that, or what's said about that in John. And this is John 3:14. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." So even in this reference in Numbers, the snakes were among the people, and if they were bitten, they could look up, and this is a symbolism to the cross. They could look up and be saved if they would look up at the bronze snake. And that's a symbolism to Christ on the cross. But we know that there were people that didn't do that. There were many that died, but some would look up and be saved. And that's the same thing that Christ is looking at right now. Some can see the resurrection of Lazarus and say, you know, this is a miracle of God. And others look at it and say, we need to kill this Jesus. He's dangerous. So we always have that sin and disbelief. And I think that's what some of the groaning was that Jesus was going through at this time, as he was approaching this time in his life. Luke also gives us a good story that kind of sums this up too, and I'll read this real quickly. We know this story. This is the rich man and the other Lazarus that is in the scripture. And here is what it says. "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony.' But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to there cannot, nor can anyone cross over.' He answered, 'Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' And Abraham replied, 'Then they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' 'No, Father Abraham,' he said, 'but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' He said to them, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" And see, that's what Jesus is still looking at there, is even someone rises from the dead, they will not believe. That is the disbelief that we have. Let me read one more reference. This is 2 Corinthians 2:14-16. "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ, among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life." So as Christian brothers and sisters, we can be the fragrance of life, or to some, it is the smell of death. And it's always going to be that way. But I would rather be myself the fragrance of life, wouldn't you? And as we live and go through our walk, I pray that God will help us to be that side that's always the looking to God instead of away from God. And we know that that happens every day, and sometimes we get in bad situations, but we should always be the one that is the positive towards God, that's always looking towards the right, always looking for His miracles and believing. If we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we can say that this mountain moved from here to there. Nothing will be impossible to us. That's the promise. Do we believe that? But that's the way I want us to be, that we're always positive in that way. I want to close with this little reading that I found as I was studying. It says, "May we have a heart like His." When we read John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible, we are often struck with the humanity of Jesus. Perhaps we can now also view this verse in a different light and consider the deity of Jesus. Jesus, as God incarnate, was weeping at the hardness of people's hearts and the sin around Him. Jesus was weeping that mankind was still under the curse of death, and that the last enemy of mankind had not yet been defeated. That wasn't happening yet with Lazarus. That comes when Jesus is on the cross. But Jesus was not powerless. He had the power to overcome death, and through His death, burial, and resurrection, He has likewise made believers more than conquerors over sin and death. We look forward to that blessed hope that when Christ comes, we shall be made alive with Him. Through faith in Christ, we can look forward to an eternity one day where He will wipe away all tears and there will be no more sorrow. But while we are still here on earth struggling with death and sorrow, we must lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us follow our Lord's example and rightly weep over the things that make Him weak. May we resolve to have a contrite spirit in regard to our own sin, and may we have a burden for those who are lost. May we have a heart like His. May we have a heart like His. That's easy to say, but I pray that through our knowledge and what we gain and what we're taught here and what we learn each week as we study the Word, that we may have more of a heart like Him every day. And the things He weeped for were the lost and sin. And as Christians, help us to have a heart for that too. And as we look out in this world that is not a lot of good out there. There's a lot of things going on, always have been going on. It's nothing new. We read it from Old Testament up till the time that Christ comes back. We are a light in the world as Christians. The world is a dark place. So help us be that light is what I say. Help us to be like Christ. And though we weep for sin and for the ones who don't believe, help us to joy also because we're Christians and we have Christ in us. Help us to know that we can be a living example of Christ here on earth. That's my prayer for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank You for this message today of Mary and Martha and for their belief, but also that You have shown us that it was so hard to believe, and it still is for some people. And when people go through things, I wonder how they can make it without Christ. We know that someone may not be a Christian or may not have faith in you, Lord. We as Christians, we reach out to them, but we don't understand how they can do it without you. And Lord, I just pray that you will just indwell in our hearts to have a heart like you, that we don't like the sin and we don't like what's going on in the world, but we're sent out to change it. We're sent out to make it better because we have you in us. And I pray one thing for Grace Community Church as we grow, as we become closer in fellowship with each other, as we lift each other up, that we may turn out of these walls and look outside and go to the unsaved. Reach out to those who need you, Lord, and know that they're living in sin. But as you bring them to us, that we may just be the voice that we can be for your word. Lord, we love you and just praise your name. In Christ's name, amen.